This morning, would you turn with me to the Songs of the Hebrews, Psalms. Psalms number 118. Psalm 118 this morning, we're going to cover verses 14 through 29. 14 through the 29. Thanksgiving weekend. Psalm number 118, beginning in verse 14. In verse 14, it says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we do praise you for the tremendous mercy. Father, we ask that you would bless our time together this morning. And as our hearts are united in thanksgiving before you, let us be sure and thank you for all things. God, we just give you praise. We thank you for this time that we can worship, that we can sing praises to you, that we can open the tremendous Word of God, that we can learn and apply. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to repent before you, to be made whole again in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And God, we give you praise today. We ask that you would bless greatly in our midst. Bless each verse that we will be looking at today, and I pray that your Spirit would speak through me, Father, that you would open me to your leading, and God, that the words that I speak would be your words. And we give you all the praise and all of the glory in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we think of Thanksgiving, our idea of Thanksgiving, for the most part, is to spend time together, to have family and friends in, or to go to be with family and friends, to have a meal together, to have fellowship. And during the course of that day, or the course of that time, we hope that we would stop for a moment and pray and thank God. For many of us, time is of the essence, and we are so busy that we don't even take the time to thank God. But when we think of praise, we think of rejoicing. When we think of Jesus, our thoughts take us, for the most part, to the Gospels, don't they? We look at Jesus through the lenses of the Gospels, and we see a man who loves people. A man who came, born of a virgin, God who became flesh. We see this tremendous character who gave of himself daily to those in need around him. We see a Savior. We see a Master. We see a Lord. We see someone who was brought to tears at the tomb of a friend. We see a man who wept over the city of Jerusalem, knowing what was going to take place there in the coming week. We see a person who is kind and considerate, who made His Godhood and His deity, a cloak through which He blessed the human race. We see a man who his entire existence was foretold and planned by the Father before this world was ever brought into existence. We see a fulfillment of the Father's plan, a fulfillment of the Scriptures in the Old Testament. We see a fulfillment of the promises of God. When we think about Jesus, we think about His great power and yet His great tenderness. We think about the miracles that He performed. We think about those who could not walk that suddenly leaped and ran. Those that had never seen, their eyes blinded at birth, suddenly could see for the first time in their lives. They were able to experience things that they had never seen or experienced before, all because of Jesus. We see men and a little girl who died, but whom through the command of Jesus opened their eyes in life again. We see a cross, and we hear the cries that come forth from that cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We see and hear those great triumphant words, "It is finished," and then we see Him die. It's all across the pages of Scripture. Then we see a tomb that's open. The stone is rolled away. And we see the emptiness within, and we see the rejoicing, the incredulous looks upon the face of Mary and others, Lord, as they came and as they witnessed the fact that that tomb was empty and that they had been in deep mourning for 3 days, and suddenly they realized He was alive. We see Him in tenderness go to Peter, approach Thomas, and others who were not sure that they could ever trust again. We see how tender He was in bringing them back to Himself. These are the things that we think of when we think of Jesus. But seldom do we think of Jesus rejoicing. We don't think of Jesus rejoicing. He's the man of sorrows, after all. And yet, God pulls the veil apart here in the Psalms and shows us the rejoicing of Jesus Christ. The suffering is over. And as we look at verse 14, we're going to begin to see how the Son of God, through His willingness to die for your sins and my sins, having expressed Himself and poured Himself out upon the cross of Calvary, we see Him now rejoicing. We see Him rejoicing in the present, we see Him rejoicing in the past, and we see Him rejoicing in the future. In verses 14 through 16, we see Him rejoicing in the present. It says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation." Think about that statement. Were it not for the faithfulness of God the Son, the Christ, the Messiah of the Jewish people, and the Savior of the world, if it had not been for Him listening and being obedient to the Father's will, taking upon Himself a robe of flesh, coming to this world, being spit upon by those who He was dying for, being willing to die that horrible death, there would be nothing for you and I to ever sing about. There would be nothing for you and I to rejoice over, for we would be a damned people. Nothing to look forward to but hell. And yet because of His faithfulness, because of His willingness to die upon that cross, because of the shedding of His blood, the world that knows Him, the people who have been redeemed by Him, those who have accepted Him, those who have been repentant of their sins and cried out for mercy before Him, can suddenly say, "The Lord is my strength." He is our strength to repent of sin. He is our strength to walk away from our past. He is our strength to look forward to the future. He is our strength. And He is our song. Because now our soul is united with the Father in heaven that created it. Now that soul that was black in sin has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God. Now our soul can sing, can rejoice in His presence. And as our souls sing in the presence of God, Jesus rejoices because this is what he came for. This is why he came. And so he rejoices in his people. The Lord is my strength, and he is my song, and he has become my salvation. Then in verse 15 it says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. You see, this is the rejoicing that Jesus has on earth. All of us who have accepted Christ, repented before Christ, have received Christ, are tabernacles of the righteous. You see, we had no righteousness. There is none righteous. No, not one. Our righteousness before the eyes of God was as filthy rags, but because Jesus has paid the penalty of our sins, and because we recognize him as our Savior, because we bow before him, he imputes his righteousness upon us, and we become righteous for the first time in our lives. Sin is destroyed, death is conquered, and life has entered into the heart and the soul of those who believe. And so the rejoicing of Jesus comes through the salvation in the tabernacles of the righteous. The word tabernacle is simply a temporary dwelling place, a temporary place of worship. That's what a tabernacle is. You see, you and I are temples of the living God today. But this temple is only temporary. It is a tabernacle. It is a place where God and you and I meet together. He is invited into the life, into the heart, controls. His Spirit now reigns and is a part of us, living within us. So he has taken up residence in my tabernacle and your tabernacle. And there's great rejoicing because this tabernacle is only temporary. With all of its sickness, with its weaknesses, its temptations, with its flesh that always seems to bring us down or to make us stumble, we rejoice. We rejoice because we can turn to the strength of God and the salvation of God in Christ Jesus. We have something to be thankful for this morning. Amen? And so we should be thankful. And as we are thankful, our Lord rejoices. Because salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. It says, the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Then it goes on to say in verse 16, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. He's lifted up. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So the right hand of the Father in heaven is Jesus Christ. He is the strength of the Father. And because he's the strength of the Father, he has done valiantly. The work of salvation is his work. It was the Father's plan, but it was his work. It was his life that was sacrificed, his blood that was shed, his salvation. He sits at the right hand, and the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Valiantly. Now in verses 17 and 18, he rejoices in the resurrection. The words of Jesus, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Can you imagine? We've talked about this many times, and at Easter it seems that that's the only time we really analyze and look at what took place on that day. The day of the death of Christ and then the resurrection of Christ, but between his death and his resurrection, there is a period of time when the heavens were silent. It was, the angels were in awe of the fact that their Lord, their God, would sacrifice himself for sinners. There was a period of time when the heavens were silent. The disciples were in shock. Their hopes, their dreams shattered. But here are the words of Jesus Christ. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore. The word for Lord here is Jehovah. My Father hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. physically he would die. But you cannot take the life of God. And Jesus was God. And the Father would not allow it. The Father could not allow it. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. As his eyes closed on the cross, and he gave up the ghost, the Christ never missed a second. It was Jesus that died. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me. Oh, how Jesus suffered. How Jesus, the Son of God, suffered on the cross. But death could not hold him. You want something to praise God for today? Praise God for that. Death could not hold him. Now, beginning in verse 19, Jesus rejoices. He says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord, the Father." All of you who have received Christ have been given to the Father by Jesus. He died for you, but he presented you to the Father through his blood, his sacrifice. Did you ever notice that as you study the Gospels, as we look at the life of Jesus, that as many times as he went into the temple, and he was there on a regular basis, not one time did he ever go into the holy place or the holy of holies. If any man deserved to be there, it was him. But not one time in his earthly ministry on this earth did he ever enter into the holy of holies or the holy place, because he was of the tribe of Judah. He was not a Levite. He was the king waiting for a throne. He was a prophet. A prophet. A king. But his priesthood would wait. He did not enter into the holy place or the holy of holies. But now, he has come forth from the grave. Now he carries in his hands the blood that he shed on the cross. And where does he go? To the gates of the temple in heaven. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. What rejoicing. Imagine the angels as they watched him enter. The Bible tells us that Jesus led captivity captive. We remember the story of how Mary Magdalene met him there in the garden after the resurrection. He said, "Don't touch me. I have not ascended to my Father yet." In his purity and his holiness, he was going to take his blood to the throne room of God, the holy place, and pour it out on the mercy seat in heaven. The blood of the Lamb. You see, he never went into the holy place or the holy of holies on earth because he was not the high priest here. Here, he was the Lamb of God. He would go into the temple. He would go into that place and watch the sacrifices being made because he too was a sacrifice. He would not be sacrificed in the temple. He would be sacrificed on a cross just outside the gates of Jerusalem for the sins of the world. But what rejoicing. The cross is behind him. He said, "Now I will go into the gates of righteousness." Look at verse 20. "This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter." The only hope that any man or any woman on this earth has of entering into heaven is if they enter through Christ. There is no other way. The gate of the Lord is Jesus himself. The only way you will ever enter into the glory of heaven, step one foot into heaven itself, you must put yourself and give yourself entirely to Jesus Christ. He is the gate of heaven. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except he come by me." That's pretty narrow, isn't it? But that's truth. regardless of what the world says and regardless of what religion says, Jesus is the only way that a man or a woman will ever enter into heaven, because He's the gate that we must go through in order to participate or partake of the glory of heaven itself. The gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Oh, if the Jewish people had only understood. That's why Jesus wept over Jerusalem. They were rejecting their king. They were rejecting their own kingdom. They were rejecting the cornerstone of that kingdom, and the cornerstone that would become the cornerstone of the church of Jesus Christ. The cornerstone is set in place. It is, out of all the stones cut for a building, the cornerstone is the one that's the most time is spent on. Because the cornerstone will determine whether that building is straight or crooked. The cornerstone will determine how strong the building will be. If the cornerstone is defective, the building is defective. But Jesus is not defective in any way, shape, or form. He is the perfect Son of God. And He's the only cornerstone of the church, and He's the only cornerstone of the kingdom that the Jews today are waiting for. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Their rejection did not stop Him from becoming the headstone. And your rejection, if you're sitting here saying, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, this isn't for me, I want nothing to do with God, that's your choice and that's your opinion, that is your decision. But your rejection of Jesus as your Savior will change absolutely nothing except where you will spend eternity. Because it has been defined in the Gospels, it has been defined in the Word of God, it's been defined by the Word of Almighty God, it's been defined in the blood of the sacrifice of God. There is nothing that the world or any power, including Satan and all the demons of hell, can do to change it. Jesus is the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. It's God's plan. May not be the way you would have done it. Certainly, probably wouldn't be the way I would have done it. But it's the way God did it. It's perfect. No one can improve upon it. It's the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This verse has been memorized by more Sunday school classes and more groups than probably any other. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What most of us don't understand is that this is the day of salvation. The day may be different for you than it was for me. But on the day that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your eyes were opened and you recognized that you had to have God in order to have life. When you bowed before Him, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Can you imagine the rejoicing in heaven? The Bible tells us that there is great rejoicing when a sinner recognizes their sin, bows before God, and receives Christ. Every time that a soul surrenders to God, there is great rejoicing in heaven. And the one who rejoices the most is the one who saved you. Jesus. Oh, how He loves you. How He rejoices when we give our lives to Him. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech Thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, send now prosperity. Save now. It's the word that we see in the New Testament as Hosanna. It means save now. Hosanna. It's the words that were accompanying Jesus as He made His way into the city of Jerusalem upon the donkey. And people were crying out, "Save now, save now." It's a messianic term, which is referring to the beginning of the kingdom. Send the kingdom now. Bring the kingdom now. The Jews are still waiting for their Savior. They're still waiting for their Messiah. Because they rejected Jesus. But it did not stop him from being the Messiah. He is still king. They are looking for a kingdom. But you and I are not. As a Christian, we are not looking for the kingdom of God. Those that are looking for the kingdom of God on this earth are looking for the wrong things today. The Jews are looking for a kingdom. The church is looking and waiting for the call of God to go home. We are waiting for the rapture. We're waiting for the trump to sound and for the voice of God to call us from this place into His presence. We will come back to the kingdom. We will be on this earth with Him. But we're not looking for a kingdom today. The Jews are, because they rejected the king of their kingdom. And so the Jews, this is the voice of the Jewish people. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Send your kingdom. There are some wonderful, wonderful Jewish believers today. And they know what the Jewish people gave up. But now they are praying for the kingdom to come for their people. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. This is the holy priesthood speaking. Now, Jesus is our high priest. Now, he has taken his place in heaven. He is the priest, prophet, king. And he will bring his kingdom to this earth and he will establish his kingdom. And we'll be a part of that kingdom, but we're not looking for it. Instead, we're looking for the call of God to take us home. Verse 27 says, God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. There were times when they brought the bulls in to sacrifice them. The altar upon which the sacrifices were made had horns or protrusions made on four corners. And they would the bulls, when they were brought in, could smell blood. And they would begin to kick and to fight, and they would bind them. They would tie them to the horns of the altar in preparation for the sacrifices. When Jesus was taken out of Jerusalem, they bound him to the altar of God. They nailed him to the cross. He was bound on God's altar, lifted up between heaven and earth. He was nailed there for our sins. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Don't ever forget the cross. Don't ever forget the cross. If you've got nothing else to be thankful for today, I don't know what's going on in your life. Thank God for the cross. For the sacrifice that was made there that day. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. What a difference. What a difference on this day when Jesus was brought before the Jewish people. They said, we will not have this man rule over us. We have no king but Caesar. But now every Jewish throat, every redeemed throat will cry out, Thou art my God and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. I hope you look at God today as being good. So many times when problems come into our lives, we try to blame Him for it. We cannot blame God. We cannot blame God. I will praise thee. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Mercy is a well that has no bottom. No matter how many times you come to the well, you'll always find plenty of water there. Because God's mercy endureth forever. As you gather with your family on this weekend and as you take time to give thanks, make sure that you include Jesus Christ. Because through your rejoicing, He rejoices. There is nothing that He wants more than for you to be saved, for you to know Him, that He might touch you and become part of you. Why don't you pray to receive Christ today and make this a very special Thanksgiving? Let's pray. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to be your Savior, would you pray with me right now to give your sin and your life to Him? He loves you and He wants more than anything else for you to come. Won't you come? Would you reach out and take Him by the hand as we pray? Oh God, I know that I am a sinner. I know there are things in my life that I do that are wrong. Father, forgive me. Let my sin be covered by the blood of your Son. Let it be swept away and cleansed. Jesus, please be my Lord and my God. From this day forward, help me to live my life for you and to look forward to that day when I will be with you. And I will praise you and give you thanks forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed with me this morning to receive Christ, let me know at the back of the church on your way out so that I can rejoice with you. Let's take our hymn books in closing.